Hello, my name is Brenda Holt. I am the Associate State Director of Community Outreach for the Arizona State Office of AARP. And while February is officially Black History Month, AARP began the celebration with the observance on January 15th and continues the celebration through February 28th. AARP strives to develop a year-round appreciation of Black history, life, and culture by spotlighting some of the great innovations and contributions African Americans have made, such as what you'll see today. We are glad you could join us in order to keep the celebration and acknowledgments moving forward, and we would also like to thank Boom Goddess Radio for the opportunity to collaborate. We hope you enjoyed today's program. Be safe and be well.
Hello and welcome to Boom Goddess Radio. I'm Jennifer Davis Page, your host, and today I have the pleasure of interviewing a great artist, Banding Hendrix. Welcome, Banding, and I thank you for sharing time with us today.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I have always thought that artists of any discipline are very gifted, and I looked at your work and I tell you, it's just breathtaking. At what age did you first get interested in art?
I would say all my life. I can't remember a time really without it. Earliest memories of 2 and 3 years old, you know.
And how long have you been a professional artist?
Since 2000. 2002.
All right. And I've seen a few of your murals, and you really give life to walls. How many murals have you done in the last few years? Or how many have you done? Not just in the last few years, but how many have you done?
I really don't know. I would probably guess I maybe have about 30 active murals out there, okay. including mainly my murals are for like private owners, you know, not too much city work, but mainly for private clients that have bought smaller pieces from me before or have met me at art shows and then have just hired me to do a custom piece for them inside their house or on their wall outside. You know.
Oh, that's wonderful. I see your works of art, they have an Asian flair to them. Have you spent time in Asia?
Just in my mind. My mother is half Asian, half Hispanic. So okay. I have a big Asian influence in my life, and I was growing up with martial arts all my life too, so the Asian theme has always manifested itself in my work.
Well, it really is beautiful. Tell me, what is your daily routine? How do you start your day?
Well, presently, I have been doing a lot of house painting and cabinet work, and this isn't all that exciting, but there's a point to it. Once COVID hit, I just thought it was, honestly, I thought it was kind of douchebaggy of me to keep on soliciting my art as hard as I do. Everybody knows me as a full-time artist and just constantly producing and selling work. But once the pandemic hit, I just didn't feel comfortable soliciting myself the same. So I got heavy into, right now I'm doing a lot of house painting, cabinet work, which I've actually found the art and the zen in that. But to answer your question, my daily routine, I wake up relatively early now, like anywhere between 5 and 6. And I try to get a little workout in. And then normally I'm consumed with house painting projects. And from there, I still practice martial arts. So I hit my martial arts in the evening, and I just try to find a balance. Going back to the house painting and such, I've kind of taken a, to tell you, be very honest, I've kind of taken a break from doing smaller canvas work and smaller custom pieces of art for the last about 6 months. But I've still done about almost a dozen murals since the pandemic hit. But I haven't really painted in the studio out of my mind or for custom, like a custom painting or something.
Can you tell me a little bit of why you thought when the COVID hit, why you decided to step away from your art?
It's because there was a larger entity out there at the, and still is, you know, there's something larger hitting the masses, and a lot of people, you know, people were more concerned about this pandemic and the health, and I just didn't feel, I didn't feel comfortable continually to push and sell my art. I think people, in my opinion, were way more concerned about toilet paper. So I stepped away from it just for the time being, especially because I didn't want to be. I have found like the art community is awesome. It's beautiful, but it also can be have a lot of, I don't know, politics and judgments and stuff. And I didn't want criticism from my peers, saying that, oh, Bondine Hendrix is still soliciting his art when there's a pandemic hit. But the cool thing that I found about it is that even through the pandemic, people need art, and honestly, people needed art, I think now more so than before, especially because there's so many people in their houses working from home and having to just be in their personal environment 24/7. So I have had quite a bit of people, you know, like I said, hit me up for murals or buy older pieces that I have in my stock. You know, people are still looking for that expression. But I just think that within that first 3 to 4 months of the pandemic hitting, everybody was, you know, just all over the place. You know, and I just didn't feel comfortable.
Even though you didn't feel comfortable, did you miss it? Did you miss the creation of new pieces?
No, not really. Only because it's funny because this interview has hit me. I appreciate the interview, but the interview has hit me in almost a transition. You know, so I miss it now, but I needed that break. You know, since 2002, I had some personal things happen to me. I was born in San Francisco, moved to Arizona after high school when I was 18. But then in 2002, I had a personal thing happen, and I moved back to San Francisco to live with my brother. And I had to really self-evaluate and ask myself what I wanted to do with my life. And I chose, you know, I play the guitar, I do martial arts, I paint. And at the time, I danced a lot, and, you know, b-boy and, you know, like freestyle dance. So I had to ask myself, what can I do right now to make money? Because obviously I don't necessarily want to work for anybody. And I was like, well, the closest thing I can do is probably start painting. So I started painting. And then from 2002 up until, I would say, about a solid 7 months ago, it's been just full time selling art, living off of my art, just my art income. And that takes a toll. That takes a toll on almost your spirit. Yeah, you're expressing your spirit a lot. But I think that through the years, I got a little sidetracked from my personal goal, maybe even a little jaded. You know, I think that has to do with the fact of just having to make ends meet, just being an artist. So you kind of you kind of just get a little, I got a little jaded, I guess, and I got a little burnt out. So I needed this break. And I'm totally ready to get behind the paintbrush again in my studio. I've just been able to finally get a warehouse situation where my whole art career, I've had a couple of galleries here and there, but my whole art career, I've normally just painted either at my house or in a backyard setup or in a shed I've made or in a storage unit. But I finally have been able to secure myself a really nice warehouse in Tempe. It's really nice and large. I can really express myself, get into some sculpture. And so I needed that break and just get the creative juices kind of replenished.
Well, you know, I read that you said that you weren't going to paint on canvas again until you found a warehouse. So that was one of my questions. So I'm glad that you found a warehouse. Are you just creating there, or do you allow people to come and can they come in and look at your art and buy your art at the warehouse, or do you just create there?
Oh no, I private invites. You know, they can come. I have basically the warehouse also serves for my house painting projects. Like I said, I do a lot of cabinet painting, so I needed a space for that. So it has that space and that facility, but half of it has been dedicated to my painting, and they have really nice tall walls. I think they're like 16 feet, so I have quite a bit of my artwork hung up, kind of like a gallery style. I have a nice area that I can play my guitar and express my music. So I feel very, very blessed and fortunate to finally have that space to create, because having the space really further drives me to get going again with my canvas painting and stuff.
Were you able to get the warehouse before COVID or since COVID?
No, since COVID, very recently. I think this is my second month in it. So I'm very, very new in it, still finding the balance. The warehouse is still getting dialed in, as I like to say, which means just getting tuned up and just being able to work efficiently in there. There's a lot of space that I need to learn how to use efficiently, you know.
If you don't mind my asking, how many square feet do you have? How big is it?
You know, I don't know the exact square footage, but it's I measured it out, which is it's 20 feet wide by 60 feet long. And the ceilings are like 16 feet. And then I have like a nice little loft storage area. I have two rooms up front that are two offices that I use as well, just like as a lounge and a relaxed area.
Well, how long did it take you to find? It sounds really like it's perfect. How long did it take you to find this? How long were you looking?
Since I started my mission as an artist. I've dreamed about having a warehouse since day one, you know, and it feels great to finally be able to afford one. And the circumstances just fell into place perfectly. So I had to move on it. And it feels great to finally have that space.
Well, it was meant for you. You found it and it was meant for you. Mm-hmm. Are you influenced by any artists or any art movements at all?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I grew up doing comic books. Forgive me because I'm going back in my Rolodex in my mind. But I grew up doing comic books and pencil illustration stuff. So I really enjoyed pencil first, you know, Marvel Comics, DC, Image at the time. There's a few other names. But I was really into comic books, and quite honestly, I hated painting because the lack of control that you had, you know, pencil and inking, you have a lot more control. But then once I really started broadening my mind to art and painting, of course, I start looking into the masters and the impressionists and the classic masters and the Renaissance and a really wide variety of influences. I like to, my personal style, I like to have a heavy hand with my brush strokes. So it's kind of impressionistic, like a pop impressionism, a pop surrealism impressionism pop. There's definitely some pop art there. There's definitely some impressionism, and I have a good imagination, so there's some surrealism going in there. And then with the comic book history, it kind of gives me like a nice detail, like I can conceptualize really well. You know, a lot of abstract painters who have really great concepts of texture and color and weight, they can't really conceptualize that great drawing because that's not really what they do. But I can draw really well. I mean, it's actually, honestly, I draw better than I paint when I really focus on it.
But, now, could someone hire you to do, I'm really very interested in doing a children's book. Mm-hmm. Now, can I come to you and hire you to do illustrations for a children's book?
I could do.
Is that something that you do?
I could do illustrations, yes. It's not necessarily something that I'm into at the moment, just because I got so now I started as the comic book illustrator with pencil, then I went into painting and even spray can. Now once I've hit painting and spray can, there's so much freedom involved, it's almost kind of hard to go back to illustration because it's way more technical. But I definitely have a really great person who is a mutual friend of Nick and I's. Her name is Michelle, and that is one of the things that she specializes in is children's books. And she has a daughter that she works with that also draws with her, and they do books together and illustration work.
We're going to have to take a quick break. So sure. When we come back, we'll continue talking to B. Hendrix about his work.
Look out, world, we're getting strong. The future's here and we belong.
She can STEM, she can do more.
Like build a rocket and watch it soar. We'll clean the oceans and make the world a better place. Oh,
she can STEM, so can you.
Find a cure,
invent something new.
There's no challenge in the world that she can't face.
She can STEM.
Learn more at She Can STEM, a message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Boom Goddess Radio. This is Jennifer Davis Page in the studio today with an amazing artist, Banding Hendrix. Tell me, as I was looking at your artwork, you have celebrities in it and historical figures. Can you tell me how you select them? I mean, I see Marilyn, I see Audrey Hepburn, Clint Eastwood, David Bowie. I see all these wonderful, wonderful artists. How do you make a decision as to who you're going to paint?
Primarily just on images and celebrities and icons that I grew up watching and being influenced by the music. You know, I have a huge music love, so that definitely translates through my art. So, and I like to choose people, obviously, that I feel have made some sort of positive impact somehow on other people. You know, I always want my art to either inspire people or to harmonize their environment. That concept is important to me, so I try to choose people that, you know, kind of spread a good message while they're here or if they're still here.
Now tell me a little bit about you say that you're into martial arts. Now what color belt do you have? I'm a novice at this, so this is why I'm asking. I'm intrigued by that. So tell me, how long have you been doing it, and do you have a black belt?
I don't have a black belt yet. So I've been doing martial arts all my life. I grew up with more of the Chinese spectrum of martial arts. So Shaolin, Kung Fu, Tai Chi. I did that up until I was about 18. And then when I moved to Arizona, I got into dancing, and I noticed there was a group of dancers when I would go out that were some of my friends, but they always had a, their dance was different. They're break dancers, but they're definitely more abstract, experimental, a little bit even more martial. And I found out they were doing, a lot of them trained capoeira, which is the Afro-Brazilian martial mm-hmm. arts that was invented by the slaves that helped liberate them. So I got heavy into capoeira, which is a lot of acrobatic movement, a lot of kicking, a lot of deception. Basically, they would have songs and everything's played with music. But as a slave master would come around, they would change the tempo of the song to alert whoever was training capoeira, just to make it look like a silly game almost. So it didn't look like they were training how to fight. But capoeira is very beautiful. It's based around dance and rhythm and deception. A lot of people, when they see it, they just think that two people are just play fighting, but that is what capoeira is. It's deception. They want people to think that they're just play fighting. Formally, there's no formal blocks in capoeira. They're called esquivas, which means you're escaping your opponent's attack, because slaves most of the time were shackled. So they learned to duck and weave. So I did capoeira for about 9 years, and I loved it. Through capoeira, I got introduced to Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which is grappling, which is more like wrestling and takedowns. And I love that. It was totally foreign to me, because I grew up with, you know, the kung fu and the capoeira, which were more like striking arcs, more kicking and punching. Where the Brazilian jiu-jitsu is grappling, you're grabbing somebody, taking them to the ground, and you're manipulating their joints or controlling them. And that's what I've been doing for the past 8 years. And I'm a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, due for my brown belt, but you know, when it happens, it.
So is it purple, brown, black? Is that the ascension?
Yeah, for Brazilian jiu-jitsu, it goes white, blue, purple, brown, black. It usually takes about 10 years to get the black belt. You're in a belt structure for about 2 years per belt, approximately. So I've been doing it for about 8 years now.
So do you, are you still in, I know 8 years is a long time, and I know you're probably excellent, but is this something that you, I know you have a lot on your plate, but is this something that you would teach to youngsters, or is this something that you're just in, you're still in training? For all of this?
No, I've ran kids' classes before, and they went well. But you know, my schedule just gets different, and you know, kids come and go, and you know, but I do martial arts because, one, it feels great. One, it's just another way for me to help express my internal feelings. But it really helps me be balanced. It helps me keep my balance. It helps me keep healthy. It helps me from overindulging in alcohol and staying up late. You know, it helps me just be disciplined. And I need that always in my life. And it humbles me to the point of, because I have a lot of energy. I'm a very mellow person, but I'm constantly active. I'm constantly doing things. I'm constantly moving, doing things. But it humbles me. And tells me sometimes resting is training, healing is training. So martial arts teaches me how to rest and teaches me how to heal. And at the end of every jiu-jitsu class, you know, they always say, you know, jiu-jitsu, we leave our egos at the door and come in the class with a clear mind. And at the end of every class, I'm completely exhausted, but it just feels like an empty rag, like an empty rag got wrung out. All my emotions got wrung out. Okay. And I still have the same issues and maybe problems, but now I can see them clearly and from a more unbiased point of view, less attachment. It gets rid of a lot of attachment, expectation. you know, so that I can come home with a clear mind. And it keeps me, you know, physically fit and, you know.
That's excellent. Tell me, do you find that there's a lot of women embracing it as well, or mostly men?
No, there's a good population of women training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And in fact, my head instructor, Luca, she's a 56-year-old woman who can kick my ass. That's why I know Jiu-Jitsu works. She's no joke. I'm 42 years old. I'm a strong, athletic male that knows Jiu-Jitsu. But when I spar against her, she still will choke the crap out of me. You know, so I know Jiu-Jitsu works. And no, there's a big, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's more males that dominate the sport, the martial art world, but there's a huge influx of female energy coming in to the academies, you know, and especially for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, because it's one of the most perfect anti-rape martial arts, because it's all ground. You learn how to manipulate somebody on the ground. So it's good stuff.
Excellent. Tell me this. Do you have, with your murals, I know you, I've seen some and they're just really, really beautiful. If you had to pick one or two, and I know it's like picking children, but if you had to pick one or two that you're just most proud of, which ones would they be? Or can you make that selection?
That'd be a hard one. I would say I was really proud. I went cross country a couple years ago working for subcontracting for a trampoline park called Elevate Trampoline Parks. And they found me through Craigslist. I had responded to a Craigslist ad saying they needed murals. So I applied, I got the job, but these are huge trampoline parks, 20,000 to 35,000 square feet. And I muraled up the walls. Now the murals in them, I learned a lot. It was a space kind of theme, and it wasn't so much the subject matter of the murals. I mean, they were cool. They were, you know, space with astronauts and cool ambient, spacey stars and stuff, which I learned a lot. But I really enjoyed the volume. After painting for the trampoline parks, I realized I could pretty much paint anything, and I can pretty much paint anything any size. It doesn't matter. Like those walls were ginormous. And after doing that, I was like, well, that was a huge test. And it, because every day I walked into those trampoline parks and I just had to have confidence, you know, breaking everything down, having a formula, but literally figuring it out as I was going. But I figured it out. And afterwards, I'm like, well, I can pretty much paint anything, any size now. I figured that one out. So those make me really proud. And then I have a couple custom murals that I've done for some private clients. I've been working with a church recently in Mesa. They have one more wall they want me to do. I'm really proud with the work that I did for them.
All right, now, we have a couple of minutes left. Let me ask this. You're going to invite four people to your warehouse, living or dead, past or present. Who would those four be, and why would you invite them? Ooh. Everybody likes that question.
Yeah, that one's hard, man. Oh, man, that one's hard. Shoot. Okay, four people. Let's try to make it.
Living or dead, past or present.
Okay, well, I mean, I would have to invite, you know, Jimi Hendrix. One, because I'm a Hendrix. So, I mean, I would have to invite Jimi. I just would have to. I don't know if I would invite any visual artists, because I feel my work, you know, doesn't compare to some of the artists that I look up to. Maybe I would invite maybe my grandfather, Ole Anders Hendrix, that I never got to meet him. He died before I was born. That's two.
We only have another 30 seconds left.
I think I would invite Phil Perino, who's my mentor now.
Okay.
Because I would want somebody to be able to experience what I'm about to experience right now, that's living. We can talk about it later.
Okay.
That's three.
Well, we're short on time, so if you can't think of another one, I'll come. All right?
That sounds good to me.
Okay. Tell our listeners how they can reach you, how they can, your website and your email address, or however you have your potential customers find you.
You know, Instagram has been pretty good. So my Instagram handle is Hendrix, H-E-N-D-R-I-X _ bonding, B-A-N-D-I-N-G. That's my Instagram. I mean, quite frankly, if somebody wants a mural, and they always can text message. Works the best. I've had the same phone number for, like, I don't know, 15 years.
You want to give that number out real quickly?
480-217-1831.
I thank you so much for spending time with us here at Boom Goddess Radio. I appreciate you, and I want to thank you, and I'd like to thank all of our listeners for spending time with us this evening.